Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is a responsible day for the 14th of Nisan. I start, as always, or as I've started doing, with gratitude to the OU, towards Rabbi Jack Abramowitz, towards David Hochhauser for their help in putting all this up on the online for you to hear. I also want to admit that while this series is about finding tshuvot for a particular day, and I have mostly stuck to just looking for tshuvot with a date in some way connected to the day, here's the 14th of Nisan. I'm recording it way before that, but it's the 14th of Nisan, it's Erev Pesach. So I found the tshuva. I really only found a few tshuvot that were dated to that date. I found a few. One of them was an interesting one. I was going to use it with Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. When he was like 81 years old, on the 14th of Nisan, wrote a tshuva about really just a technical halakhic topic about the question of whether you can create an isser when it's bit to arovet. When there's a material that is mixed in with other items, so it doesn't have its own independent identity, can it become usser? So it was interesting, this conversation, a little bit technical. I wasn't sure I was going to be able to transmit it well and appropriate and do it justice. But more than that, as I was trying to go over it again and just prepare it and think about it, it struck me that it doesn't make sense that here we are on Erev Pesach, if you're listening to this on Erev Pesach, here we are on Erev Pesach to completely ignore Pesach issues. So I went and I looked for a tshuva that was in some way related to the 14th of Nisan, but that had some Pesach issues to it. So the date is not the issue here, it's the topic that's the issue. And it also gives us an opportunity to learn from the Sri De'esh, who we very often don't get a chance to. So this was Sri De'esh, the first volume of Siman 41, Mem Aleph, response number Mem Aleph. And the question is, how do we know that the mitzvah of Tashbitu is on the 14th of Nisan? So the mitzvah of Tashbitu, let's remember, is the mitzvah to get rid of Chametz. And his question is going to be, what makes us so sure that the mitzvah is to get rid of it on the 14th? Why shouldn't it be that the mitzvah is to get rid of it on, as we'll see, the 15th? Why would you think that? So the man who was writing the letter to the Sri De'esh said, Rabbi Akiva in Psachim on Daf Hei Amar Aleph says that how do we know that you're supposed to get rid of Chametz on the 14th? Because the Pasuk says, Bayom HaRishon Tashbitu Se'or Mibatechem, on the first day you should get rid of Chametz from your homes. So you can't say that that's the first day of Pesach, says Rabbi Akiva, because the Pasuk also says, Kol Melacha Lo Ta'asu, right? You can't do any malach on that day. Havara, burning, we find many people who hold that it's an av malach. It's going to come up in later in the tshuvah, whether it's really an av malach or not. There's a discussion about that, but that it seems to be a prime category of malacha. So if the verse says, ko malacha lo ta'asu, don't do a malacha, then how could it be that it would require us to burn chametz on that day? So it must be when it says, Bayom Rishon Tashbitu, it doesn't mean the first day as in the first day of Pesach. It must be that it means the first day of the 14th as being the first day. Rava in the Gemara there proves from that Rabbi Akiva must hold, like Rabbi Yehuda, that Bir Chametz has to be with burning. Let's remember there's another machloket in the Gemara about how one gets rid of one's Chametz. And the position of Chachamim is that there are lots of ways to get rid of it, as long as it's gotten rid of. You can crush it up into crumbs and throw it to the wind, throw it into the ocean, or burn it. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you have to burn it. So Rava there in the Gemara says that Rabbi Akiva apparently holds that you must burn it, and that's why he can use this as proof that Tashbitu must be on the 14th, not the 15th, because if there are other ways to get rid of it, then the fact that you can't do Malach on the first day of Pesach, on the 15th, wouldn't really tell us anything, because there are other ways to do it, right? We could say the Torah said, yeah, you burn the Chametz. Either you can burn the Chametz before, you can get rid of it other ways that are non-Malacha ways on the first day of Pesach. So the man asking the question to the Sri De'esh says, but I don't understand. Why don't we just say, no, Tashbitu means the first day of Pesach, and the Torah is allowing us to do this kind of burning on the first day of Pesach. Just like, now this is why he's asking the question, just like if there's a baby born on a Shabbos, so that the next Shabbos is the eighth day after his birth, we allow performing a Brit Milah on Shabbat. So normally we don't have a Brit Milah on Shabbat, so how come we're allowing it? So there's a pasuk in the Torah that says you do the Brit Milah on, even on Shabbat. So too, korbanot that are required to be offered on Shabbat, including a korban Pesach, but korbanot that are required to be offered on Shabbat, we also say they can be offered on Shabbat, right? So if the Torah explicitly says Bayom Rishon Tashbitu Se'or, you should get rid of chametz on the first day, why don't we just say it's like Milah, it's like circumcising a baby on his eighth day, it's like offering a sacrifice on the day of Shabbat that it's offered. And that's what the Torah means. And when the Torah said Bayom Rishon, it meant the first day of what we call Pesach, the 15th of Nisan. So first, the Sri Deish offers the answer of Pnei Yehoshua, who asked this exact question. And his answer was that Rabbi Akiva is really approaching this with unstated assumptions, one of them being that if you have a mitzvah that can be performed before Shabbat, or Yom Tov, we generally don't allow ourselves to do it on Shabbat or Yom Tov. Sorry, not Shabbat, just Yom Tov, right? The whole idea that we can be doche Yom Tov for certain kinds of malacha, that certain things can be done on Yom Tov, we generally assume that those things are only those things that could not have been done before Yom Tov. So in the case of chametz, though, in the case of getting rid of chametz, one can easily get rid of all one's chametz before Yom Tov. Right? There's no special, even today, right, there's no special requirement that one, we do it today because of the bracha issues. We want to make sure we have some chametz left over to make a bracha on for bedikas chametz, for checking for chametz, and then we want to say kol chamir, we want to burn something on the 14th itself to fulfill this thing. But that's not really necessary to the original mitzvah. If that's true, then why would the Torah make a mitzvah to get rid of it on the 15th if you can do it beforehand and allow burning it on the 15th if you can do it beforehand? Our general principle is we don't allow such things. So the Pnei Yehoshua offered that as an idea. He thought that also helped answer another question. There's a question on Rashi that we don't have to get into right now, but Rashi held that the debate about how you get rid of chametz is only until chametz is usher. But once chametz becomes fully usher, so let's say at noon on the 14th is the way we hold, but whenever it would have been, depending on you're going to read this puzzle. But let's say once chametz was fully usher, everything you can get rid of it whatever way you want. So if that's true, then why is Rabbi Akiva saying that you couldn't be on the 15th, that this is the day, because you can only burn it, we can't allow burning it, but once it's usher, then you can get rid of it any way you want to. So the Bnei Yeshua says, no, because you can see here that we think that until it's time of burning, you should get rid of it, that would be the mitzvah. In any case, that issue aside, the Sri Deish says that he hasn't yet answered our question fully, because if the words Bayom Rishon mean the first day of Yom Tov, then the Torah seems to be commanding, he's assuming now for a second, differently than what I said just a minute ago, he's assuming that the Torah says you have to get rid of it on that day, it means that something should happen on that day itself as well, right? And if that's true, then the whole idea that it would be a problem for Rabbi Akiva because you could have done it beforehand and therefore it shouldn't be Doche Yom Tov would go away, right? Because our logic was, if Rabbi Akiva held the 15th and burning was a problem on the 15th, so get rid of it beforehand. But if the truth is that the halacha requires something other than that, the halacha requires some burning on the 15th, so that problem goes away. But it's not quite gone away yet, because there's actually another discussion on halacha that touches on this question. So where we are now is, we're trying to figure out why Rabbi Akiva is so sure it's the 14th, maybe it's the 15th. Then you say, well, if it's the 15th, it would have been an av malacha, and we don't reason that you get rid of avos malacha for this purpose. You say, Pnei Yeshua says, and the rabbi writing to the Sri Deish says, I don't understand, we do get rid of av malacha sometimes on a Yom Tov, if that's what happens. We offer, you know, we do brit milah on Shabbat. We offer sacrifices on Shabbat. So if that's true, then how come this? So then the first answer was, well, but you could have done it before Shabbat. But now if I tell you that, no, in fact, you couldn't have done it before Shabbat, because some of it, or Yom Tov, because some of it had to happen on Yom Tov, because that's what Tashbitu means, then that would seem to get rid of the problem. We're back to our question as to how the Gemara knew, how Rabbi Akiva knew that it had to be the 14th and not the 15th, because the Torah tells us to do it on the 15th. You have to do it on the 15th. So then you might have thought that no, even that's not a full proof that there's a problem still there, because there's a whole different discussion. There's a shach in Yoridea, and this is coming back to the circumcision discussion. So let's remember, if a baby is born on Shabbat and the baby is healthy, a boy, he can and must have the Brit Milah the next Shabbat, because it pushes to the side Shabbat. So the Ramah held in Shulchan Aruch that if somebody, let's say somebody makes a mistake or doesn't realize what they're doing or doesn't understand the halacha, and they give the baby the Brit Milah before Shabbat, before the eighth day. It doesn't matter Shabbat or not Shabbat. So if the circumcision was done by accident or on purpose, but done before the eighth day, it doesn't matter whether it's Shabbat or not, do we say that that was valid or not? The Ramah seems to have held, that you don't have to do what's called Hatafat Dam Brit, right? Ordinarily, let's say, for whatever, however it happened, that the circumcision was done without accounting the circumcision, or a baby was born, whatever it is. A circumcision is done in an invalid way. The way we do it then is we say you have to be Matif Dam Brit. You have to take a little bit of blood from the place, from that organ, from right there, you would take a little bit of blood, and that would be instead of circumcision. So the Ramah held that a circumcision was done before the eighth day, you don't need. So that gets to the question of whether how valid or invalid a circumcision before the eighth day is. Ramah held, you're not supposed to do it before the eighth day, but if one did it before the eighth day, so then you don't need to be tif adam brit, you don't need to take more blood out of it, because it's just You can leave it like that, and it's a fully valid circumcision. B'dieved, if it already happened that way. So the Shach didn't like that idea, and his proof was from Menachot, from a discussion about the Omer, that if the Omer was cut down, shelo k'mitzvato, when it should, in a way that it wasn't, shouldn't have been cut, then it's pasul, then it's invalid to be the wheat for the Omer. And the reason why the Gemara knows that's true, because if it wasn't the Omer, if it wasn't, then if it was kosher, then why would the cutting of the Omer be domche Shabbat? Why would it be allowed to do it on Shabbat? Because after all, if, in fact, one cut it before the time, if it was kosher, then just do it there, and you won't have to be violating Shabbat. So you won't have to be violating Shabbat. Wouldn't it be better not to violate Shabbat? So the Gemara proves from there, teaches proof from there, that it must be that it's not valid. So the Shach says, so you see, if something is valid before its time in any way, then we wouldn't let it be Doche Shabbat. So the Shach says, so in terms of circumcision, if the Ramah was right, that you do it early, that it's yotze, that it's valid, you don't need to have tafa dan brit, then why would we say that milaz doche Shabbat? So that's what the Shach says. That discussion aside, we'll come back to it as 3 days gets to it, then it should be the same thing about Sreifas Chametz, about burning the Chametz. If we say that if in fact you burned it beforehand, it's valid, then it shouldn't be doche yom tov, because you can do it before yom tov. So the answer is, 3DH says, no, none of that is true, though. Because in the case of Ksirat HaOmer, of cutting down the Omer, cutting the Omer, or of Brit Milah, whether I'm already answered to that question, we're not going to get into. But in the case of those two cases of circumcision and cutting the wheat for the Omer, cutting not the wheat for the Omer, we offer barley for the Omer, cutting the barley for the Omer, in those cases, it's clear that it's a Dichiyah, it's a pushing aside of Shabbat for those purposes. Why is it clear it's a Dichiyah? Because those are things that don't necessarily have to happen on Shabbat, right? Milah, circumcision happens on the eighth day of the baby's life. It's not necessarily Shabbat. If it happens to be Shabbat, we see that it pushes aside Shabbat. So too, with the Omer is cut on the day that you're going to offer the Omer, or the day before you're going to offer the Omer so you can clean it. So that doesn't have to be Shabbat. If it's Shabbat, you're allowed to do that. So in those cases, if it's done early, if it were to be true, that if it were done early, it would be okay, then we wouldn't allow it to push aside Shabbat. That's what the 3DH is saying. But in the case of Chametz, right, so in the case of Chametz, if Tashbitu meant burn it and get rid of it on the first day, that would be the Torah explicitly allowing us to do it. So in the case where the Torah explicitly allows us to do something, then it should be allowed. So the question returns now, so how do we know that it's not? Because, right, how do we know that it's not that it's not the 15th? Because Rabbi Akiva's answer is, because it's an Amalacha. But so what? Right? If the Torah specifically tells us we can do it, the Torah specifically tells us we can do it. The 3DH points out the Shach's Aryeh also wondered at that Shach, because the answer could just be that the Rama would say that despite the fact that if one did it in the wrong way, you don't have to go back and redo it. That doesn't mean it's right to do it. So whenever it's right to do it a certain way, it could be that since it's right to do it in the better way on Shabbat, the Torah allows us to do it on Shabbat. That's what the Shach's Aryeh says. He doesn't understand what the Shach's problem is. So that's one mahalach. That's one way of looking at all this. The 3DH suggests that he doesn't end up being satisfied with, but that strikes me as valuable and interesting just in terms of what it reminds us about things like when do we push aside Shabbos and when don't we, and what are the situations when we're allowed to and we're not allowed to. So he's pointing out that there's a question of, could I have done it before Shabbos? So those are the main issues we have. When the Torah commands us to do something on a certain day, does the fact that we could have done it beforehand affect us or not? And the general principle that on Yom Tov, when we say you can do certain things on Yom Tov, it's mostly those things that you couldn't have done before Yom Tov. But if you could have done it before Yom Tov, you don't have the right to do it. That all gets to the question of Teshbitu, of whether or not we can get rid of it. But now the Sfit Yesh offers his own idea. He says, V'nir Ali li yashib ofen akher. I have a different idea. He thinks that first you have to understand that there seems to be a problem. How could it be that by Yom HaRishon, be Yom Tov, we have a specific commandment in the Torah that says, Shivat Yamim Se'or Lo Yimatzei Bevatechem. For 7 days, you can't have leavened stuff, yeast and dough and leavened stuff in your house. The prohibition that we call Bal Yimatzei cannot be found. So if you burn it on Yom Tov, right, if Tashbitu means the first day of Pesach, and you burn it on Yom Tov, haven't you already, by that very fact, violated the prohibition of Bal Yera'eh, violated the prohibition of can't be found in your house, you can't see it. And that's actually, in the Gemara Pesachim Dalam Amid Bet, the proof of Abaye, that there are two Pesachim, Shiva Yemi Solom Ezev Atechem, and Ach Bayam Rishon, and that's how Abaye proves that it has to be on the 14th. So you can say, well, maybe I'll tell you that, and this is a claim that people have, that there's no prohibition of holding on to chametz if your purpose is burning it. If all you're doing, all you want to, so there's a re in Tosfos in Psakim that suggested that somebody, if somebody is mashhe chametz, if somebody holds on to chametz to get rid of it, lebaro, to get rid of it, then even if they go over the time, they don't realize that the time has gone by, they're not over on by. There's the position of re. Right, because he thinks it's a law and itakla asay. It's a prohibition that's connected to an obligation being to get rid of it. So that's not it. He says it's not true because the re only said that in the case of bir chametz is erev yom tov, and then it happens to be that you left it over and you thought you were leaving it over to get rid of it. But how could it be that we could say the two psukim are talking about that every year you'll have that situation? Meaning, even if you held that we agree with the re. But the re maximum is telling us what happens in a case of perhaps, right, of if it happened. But the Torah would set up a situation where you'd have a prohibition to hold on to it and then say, but also hold on to it until that day. So that, the Tzidish says, doesn't make any sense. So he thinks, therefore, if we were going to claim that the 15th is the Yom HaRishon referred to in the verse of Ach Bayom HaRishon, the 15th is the first day, then it can't be that it means and you have to wait till then and there's a positive obligation, there's an actual obligation to burn some on that day, to get rid of it on that day. So that's what he thinks. And therefore, now he goes on to another topic in a second, but I just want to point out that if that's true, then he's sort of, I think he thinks that he's solved the problem already, that for Rabbi Akiva, you could say, I think what he means is, you could never say that it would be an actual obligation to burn it on the 15th, because that would be a problem, because you'd have to burn it, and burning isn't allowed. So you say, well, if the Torah says so, you say, you'd have to say no, there would never be a situation like that, because we don't know of a situation where the Torah says there's something you could do beforehand, and yet I want you to specifically do it here when it contradicts another prohibition in the Torah. Since there's that other prohibition in the Torah, he's saying, there's no way that it doesn't make sense that we would construe the pasuk to mean, hold over chametz till then, and burn it specifically then, even though that will be in contradiction to the other prohibition in the Torah against only chametz at the time, and therefore the Shulchan Aruch thinks that that's not a plausible way to read the psukim, and that's what was underlying Rabbi Akiva saying it must be the 14th. So the man writing to the Shulchan Aruch suggested sort of another way to think about it that he felt was also an issue, that Rabbi Akiva takes for granted that havara, that burning, is an av malacha. So he says, even if we hold that Havara is prohibited on Yom Tov, that's a whole question. We don't generally assume now, halakhically, that burning things is also on Yom Tov. We think you're allowed to burn fires on Yom Tov. Let's even say that we do think Havara, that Rabbi Akiva thinks that Havara is an Avalach, and he learns it from Shabbos, right? But if he learns it from Shabbos, nonetheless, the Asay of Shabbaton doesn't include Havara. The obligation, the Yom Tov obligation to desist from Malacha wouldn't include Havar, because it's being derived from Shabbos. The Shabbaton, Ashvita mi Malacha Kai, because Shabbaton is talking about desisting from Malacha, and Havara doesn't count as a Malacha. Why doesn't Havara count as a Malacha? So that's because if in Shabbos context, there's a discussion about what burning is. So there's a whole debate in the Gemara. There's two options in the Gemara. It's with Havara le'lav yatzet, or Havara le'lachale yatzet. So if Havara le'lav yatzet, if Havara was set apart, the pasuk in Vayakhel speaks about burning specifically. So if Havara, if burning, was distinguished from all the other prohibited forms of creative activity on Shabbat, what's the reason for it to be separated? So there's two options in the Gemara. One of the options is that it was Lilav Yatza. It's that Havara, in Shabbos context, is not actually a capital crime. It's an ordinary prohibition. If it's an ordinary prohibition, it means it's not really a malacha. It's not really one of the 39 prohibited forms of malacha. If it's not one of the 39 forms of malacha, the Sri Deish is saying, or this man had pointed out the Sri Deish, then we would assume that the obligation of Shavita, of desisting from malacha, wouldn't apply to it. That's a technical, it's a technical concept from within Melachot Shabbos, but an important one. It's that when we say that certain things are prohibited on Shabbat, it matters how they're prohibited, because, for lots of reasons, the one we're talking about here is that those things that aren't prohibited as a malacha, as a full malacha, are also not covered by the asay, the obligation of shvita. That's going to be important here for our purposes, because when it comes to the question of what's called asay doche lota, say there are many cases in halacha where you have an obligation, a positive commandment, we say that even if there's a prohibition standing in front of you, you can push aside the prohibition in order to fulfill the positive commandment. commandment. So for a classic example, let's say for some reason a person had sara'at in the place, and they had that thing we commonly translate as leprosy, it's not a good translation, but that thing, sara'at, they had a lesion of sara'at in the place where they have to perform a circumcision. This could be on a baby, let's say if an adult converts to Judaism, and they have to perform a milah or whatever it is. So we say the aseh of circumcision is doche, the prohibition in the Torah against cutting off, cutting away tzara'at, lesions of tzara'at. So that would be an example of an aseh doche lo ta'aseh. But we generally in halacha say that an aseh is not doche, a lo ta'aseh ve'aseh, a prohibition and a commandment. So if Shvitah, if the obligation of desisting from Malacha, the positive obligation of desisting from creative work on Shabbat and Yom Tov applied here, then you'd have an Aseh of Shabbaton and a Lo Ta'aseh of Havara, and then you would not be able to, you would think that you couldn't say that the Aseh of Teshbitu would push aside the Aseh and the Lo Ta'aseh. That's what we're getting into it here. But we generally assume that the Aseh of Shabbaton of Shvitah only applies to full melachot. What's a full melacha? Full melacha is the 39, and Havari is not one of those. 3DH throws in parentheses here that the Baal Amudei Or had an idea like this in his book called Baruch Tam, and there's a Rashbi in Yevamot that also seems to say the thing. It talks about a different prohibition throw. There's a prohibition throw called Mechamer. So Mechamer is when one encourages an animal to go or to walk or to run at your the donkey, let's say, has a load on it and you push it to go, not physically, but you yell at it to go. So that's a prohibition in the Torah. But it's a simple prohibition. It's a plain prohibition. And therefore, the Rashbam, you've almost already said, that it doesn't have the aseh of Shabbaton. Does it have the positive obligation of Shabbaton of desisting from Malacha? So that's what this man, that's the svar that we're raising here. So maybe we'll say it's only a simple lo ta'aseh, and it's not got Shabbaton. So you might think that's a relevant consideration. The Shvitah says, no, I think that what I said is true, that according to Rava, that according to the person, is lechalek yatzat. So if you say Havara, another option in the Gemara is that the reason why Havara, why fire was set apart, was teach us something about all malachot. What's teaching us about all malachot? It's teaching us that each malacha counts separately for Shabbos purposes. Meaning, let's suppose somebody unwittingly violates two or three different malachot of Shabbat, violates two or three different kinds, categories of malacha, the person has to bring two or three different chataot. Each category of malacha will inspire or will require its own chatat. We might have thought they're all violations of Shabbat. So the fact that I violated Shabbat, so for example, let's say I plant five different times on a Shabbat without realizing that I was doing malacha. I would bring one chatat because it's all one big thing. But if instead of those five times of doing planting, I planted and cooked and sowed and whatever, so each of those would get a different chatat. That's called lechalek yatzat, and that's another way to read the reason that Havara is yotze. So the fact for that is, Rav Judah H says, he thinks that according to Rava, that would be the Torah telling us that the aseh, that an aseh is not doche, a lo taseh of malach on Shabbos, and that by Mila, it's an exception. That's why the Torah needed the exception, so that you have reasons for that. So, but if we say lelav yatzat, but if Havari is only a plain lav, it's not a malach at all. And if it's not a malach at all, then there's no Shabbaton, right? There's no Shvita, there's no positive obligation. And therefore, you can't learn anything from a milah. It's a malach, which is a malach gemura. It's a whole malach. And therefore, you could hold that the requirement to burn chametz would push aside the lav of lo tivaru. So all of that line of reasoning, he's saying, doesn't really work because it wouldn't get in the way of it, because Havara wouldn't be the kind of thing that would be a problem for those kinds of issues, and therefore, if there was really an aseh of Teshbitu, if that was really the way it worked, then you would be allowed to do it, and therefore that can't answer all the questions that we had. So that means that Rava proves from here also that Rabbi Kiva doesn't hold mitoch shehutra litzorech, hutra shelo litzorech. We generally assume halachically that fire, once it was permissible litzorech, once you're allowed to do it on Yom Tov for when we have needs to do it on Yom Tov, then we're also allowed to do it even when we don't completely need it on Yom Tov. So the Rava says something more. Rabbi Akiva can't hold it that way because, why can't he hold it that way? Because here, Rabbi Akiva should say, yeah, maybe it's true that chametz doesn't need to be burnt for the needs of the day, but it's shelo l'tzorech and we allow those such things, so it can't be that Rabbi Akiva held that way, otherwise he couldn't prove that Teshbitu is on the 14th and not the 15th. So The Rosh Milunil says, but I don't understand, because even if Rabbi Kiva doesn't hold but Chametz being burnt on that first day would be Litzorech HaYom Tov, would be a need of the Yom Tov, if the Torah said burn it on the first day, it's a need of the day. So that's not an answer. So that fits for Tosos of the Tridei, because Tosos say we always need a little bit of a Tzorech, a little bit of a needs of the day, but according to Rashi, that we don't need any Tzorech, and even so, you can't bring no Torah Yom Tov, that wouldn't be an answer. Forget that part of it. I'm sorry. I left out a piece of the discussion, but that's the parts that apply to Chametz part. So that's another problem, that how can you prove it? So the answer is you can prove it because Chametz is Tzorech, and therefore, so that's not a relevant issue for them, and the Rava, the question of Rava still stands. So the Sri Deish says, for reasons that I don't want to get into now because it would take too long, but he comes up with this idea that he thinks that for Rashi and others, the problem with burning some things on Yom Tov, on holidays, isn't the malacha of Havara, of burning. That's what we've been thinking till now, and that's led to all these kinds of problems and all these issues that we've had. So he thinks, he suggests instead that the problem is Biur Kodshim. It's getting rid of things. Biur, not in terms of the burning aspect of it, but getting rid of Kodshim, and therefore the whole issue of Mitok doesn't come up, because Mitok happens is a fire question, right? You can burn fire on Yom Tov, in terms of Biur, of getting rid of things, so we don't find any permissibility just to get rid of things on Yom Tov. So it is a function of Havara, but it is connected to Havara, to burning, but his point is that he thinks that Havara has two, I think his point is that he thinks Havara has two aspects to it. That is the aspect of the burning of the fire issue, that we've already discussed, but then it has the question of just being Mivair, of burning, of getting rid of Kachim, and it's there, there was no special rule of Mitok Shalotzorach, Mitok Shehutra Litzorach, Hutra Shalotzorach. And then all sorts of questions go away. So for example, the Pnei Yeshua asked about Rashi, that Rashi said, So Rashi had wondered if you can burn it, or Rashi had said that the proof that Rabbi Kiva thinks it has to be done by burning is because if you could do it in other ways, you could just offer it to the dogs. Whereas Rashi elsewhere in a Mishnah on Memvav and in Beitza had said, just like you don't burn Kachim on Yom Tov, you also can't feed Kachim sacrifices that are Tameh or that have to be gotten rid of to dogs. So that's for the 3 days, as you see, when it comes to Kachim, there's this problem of Biur Kachim, of getting rid of Kachim. And that includes all forms of Biur. Even though Biur Kachim is originally and usually with burning, it's in all forms. But with Chametz, you wouldn't have that whole discussion, because he's saying there is no separate thing about Biur of Chametz separate from the burning of it. It's the burning problem, and therefore if you fed it to the dogs, there would be no Isser. But the fact is that we get Chametz issues from Notar issues, and by Notar, there's the getting rid of problems, etc. So he's taking, he, in his mind, has taken care of all of those problems. So according to everything that he's written so far, he says he can also give an answer to one more question about Asei Doruch HaLotas, which we've already seen, about the fact that an obligation pushes aside a prohibition. So there is a Yerushalmi quote in the Tosos that talks about the question of whether we allow certain things as being based on this issue of whether Havara is L'lav Yatzat or L'chalek Yatzat. If it's L'lav, it's not a Malacha. If it's L'chalek, then it is a Malacha. And that will affect questions of Anasei Dochelotas and those kinds of issues. And they bring a question there, and so the Tzvideish again says, no, the question comes from Kachim issues, and that's a question of Bior, of the Havara, the burning, is not only the burning itself, but the Bior Kachim, which is the essential problem. So you end up having, for the 14th of Nisan, a discussion of Tashbitu. The Gemara has it that Rabbi Kiva says, proves, or thinks he proves, that Tashbitu has to be on the 14th, because otherwise you'd be burning Chametz on the 15th, and you can't burn Chametz on the 15th, since it's an Av Malacha. It is a fully prohibited, since it's a prohibited Malacha, we have no reason to think that it's permissible. Question was, why won't we permit that, like we permit lots of things, if they're commanded on a certain day? And the Sweet Age took us through several versions of the reasoning that shows that we wouldn't imagine that the Torah would set that up for various reasons. Either because it could have done it for Yom Tov, that's what the Pnei Yeshua sort of suggested, and therefore it wouldn't be allowed, and yet it would seem to be allowed. Then you get the question of whether that was a obligation that would be specific to that day or not. And then the Sri Deish also suggested that it's a function of the question of whether it would have to be in contradiction to that for 7 days you have Balyira and Balyimatzah. So these are all some of the issues that come up in terms of proving or showing understanding how it is Rabbi Akiva understood the verse that says Teshbitu to mean that we have to get rid of Chametz on the 14th of Nisan and not on the 15th. Take care and have a great day. Responsible day for the 14th of Nisan. Thank you, the OU. Have a great day and have a great Pesach.